Best-selling author and American psychologist Mary Pfeiffer said this, "We live in a world filled with language. Language imparts identity, meaning, and perspective to our human community. Writers are either polluters or part of the cleanup team. Just as the language of power and greed has the potential to destroy us, the language of reason and empathy has the power to save us. Writers can inspire a kinder, fairer, more beautiful world, or invite selfishness, stereotyping, and violence. Writers can unite people or divide them." In this Book Show podcast, host, confidence coach Susan Axelrod asks women authors a simple question: which kind of writer are you? She invites each guest to step into the confidence zone to proclaim how her book can inspire. If you are seeking inspiration to create your legacy, take out your pen and pad. Your book, My Time, starts now. Hello, friends. Welcome to this book review episode of Your Book, My Time. I started this book show because of the impact that books in the field of personal development had for me in my life. I was a type A personality with all that goes along with that, and I landed in an emotional upheaval in my mid-30s, and that's when I really started my own journey to self-help and personal development. Over the many years since then, I've learned the truth that it's all in you, or me. It's all in me. Today, I call myself the confidence coach. My business is Axelrod Confidence Coaching. I call it Confident Life in Life and Business. And the way I got to this place was by learning some of these lessons, taking personal responsibility for my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And as a result of all of that, I began to rise in consciousness because I rose in control, in my self-control. Before that, thoughts perseverated through my mind and words came out of my mouth sort of in an unthinking way, having no idea of the impact that they would make to those around me. I did feel I was doing the best I could, but I wasn't in consciousness, or as I say, in conscious awareness of what I was doing all the time and how it was impacting others. There have been many books along the way that have helped me in my journey. Today, I'm going to talk about one of them. It's called The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Personal Freedom. This book was written by Don Miguel Ruiz. He wrote this book in 1997. So this year is the 25th anniversary of this book being put out into the ether for those who have had the benefit and privilege of reading, processing, integrating, and applying. I honor you today, and this book review show is to invite others into this sphere. It's truly life-changing. It's paradigm-shifting. I was first told about this book by my sister, Laura Lowenthal Bly, and she sent me a copy of the book right away as soon as she learned it and read it. I received the book, I looked through it, and I put it on a shelf. It didn't resonate with me. I didn't understand it. I was very, now I use the language, I was very blocked. Over years, I don't really know how many years, but it was definitely a period of years, a few to several years. The book sat on my shelf with many other books, and periodically I would pick it up and kind of look through it and read through it and still say, I don't get it. It was during my journey to what I call the light, enlightenment, to a deeply purposeful space of being in my existence. And so perhaps I gleaned and garnered wisdom along the way in my skimmings or my attempts to read and really process the book. Some years later, however many years it was, a few or more years later, I picked up the book one time off my shelf and I read it. And I read all the way through it, and it went right into immediate deep processing for me. It was as if by magic, I suddenly got what I was reading with the four agreements. As you can see, it's a small book. For those of you who are watching the video of this, it's a small book and it's a thin book. The concepts written are succinct, but deep. And I think that in the early days of what I call my chaos self, which is really the chaos in your mind, thoughts perseverating here, there, and everywhere, I wasn't able to process the deep material in the book. Once I went through that last reading, it was as if by magic, I suddenly got the four agreements and started really integrating them and applying them in my life. And so what's happened over the years since then, I've taught it many times. I've mailed it many times, like my sister mailed it to me. I use it with my client work in my Confident Life coaching business. I've used it in my mentoring conversations with young professionals. That's why today, when I thought about doing a book review show, I knew that this book was the one I wanted to share with you. So there's so much material in this book, it's hard to even grasp. I spent time reading the book again. As you can see, I have post-it notes throughout the book. And I realized the beauty of this type of book. And one of the reasons I offer this book show, which I hope people will listen to the podcasts for a long time to come, new people will learn things from these conversations and from the books that they read over time. And that over time, as you review something, you're reviewing it with the new lens that you have created in your own personal journey and personal evolution. And once again, that happened to me so deeply as I reviewed the book for this conversation with you today. So I'm going to share what the four agreements are with you first. The four agreements are these. The first agreement, be impeccable with your word. The second agreement, don't take anything personally. The third agreement, don't make assumptions. And the fourth agreement, always do your best. So the very first chapter, the beginning of the book, is titled Domestication and the Dream of the Planet. And in this chapter, the author talks about the evolution of thought as we humans know it today. That the thoughts that we have in our mind are what create the words that come out of our mouths. But the ocean that we swim in for all the early years of our lives is actually what creates the thoughts. Those thoughts lead to words. And he talks about how he calls it being in a dreamlike state, where you basically are going through every day, communicating out through your words what you learned from all the things and all the people in your life. You have no way of knowing if you're in what we call an unconscious state, consciously unaware, how much what you're saying stems from other circumstances, things that have been said to you in the early days, experiences that led to feelings and emotions, which then created thoughts in your mind. Until you rise in consciousness, we call this moving into higher consciousness, being in conscious awareness. Until you rise in consciousness, then you're basically just spouting out in your words things that you've gleaned through your experiences, heard, and especially felt. All of this is what leads up to the first agreement, which is be impeccable with your word. And this is a brief review today. So I'm actually going to focus really only on the first agreement today. But right now, before I go any further, I cannot say how much I urge you to purchase this book and purchase it in accountability with someone else. So you create your own little book group so you can discuss it with someone who is intentional about their personal development and personal ascension into being a more conscious creature. The Be Impeccable with Your Word chapter starts out with talking about the importance of the words. He talks about the fact that humans are given word. Animals are given sounds and communications and perhaps words among themselves, but we still have not cracked that code for the most part. But we speak in words. And so it is a divine gift that we are given. And as such, if we become consciously aware of this divine gift, then we can move towards being more impeccable with our words. Of course, we know that there are different languages, and within languages, there are different dialects. Still in all, these are all words. And when you come into the conscious awareness of the words that you hear yourself speaking out of your mouth and where they come from, are these old belief patterns from somebody else that I learned and became ingrained in me? Or are these words that are coming out in response to a deeply emotional space that I was in as a result of some experience that I had? As you rise in consciousness around this, you can be more aware of what you're saying, how you're saying it, and why you're saying it. This is all the basis of being more impeccable with your word, but he says it's difficult to honor. If you honor it, it becomes very, very powerful. I have experienced this myself many times. I have worked for many, many years on my own journey into ascended consciousness, my own journey to enlightenment, to be, live, feel in the light instead of in the shadows, or worse, even in the darkness. He says the word is a force. And if you think about your own personal experience, for you to really bring this in, you might be able to relate to what he's saying. He says the word is like a sword. It has two sides, and one side can slice to the cord in the type of force that cuts you to your core. If you think about this, you may have experienced it. You may have experienced it from someone else with what seemed like intentional cruelty. Or if you think about it, you may have experienced it with someone else from really thoughtlessness of how words have power. In other words, they weren't intentionally doing anything to you. It was just something that they said, but you took into heart because of the way you felt when you received it. It's called the emotional code with which it was given to you. So one of the things that he talks about in this is something that took me so long. It took me so long to learn because it's really not taught to us as children. It's really not taught, it's certainly not taught in school, and it's barely taught to us in our family experience, not because we come from bad families or people are malicious, but because pretty much most people are doing just the best they can in life. They're not impeccable with their word. They don't even understand anything about this. This is why I'm speaking with you about this today. Things come up and out of them. They have no idea. They're not in the consciousness of, ooh, where might this be coming from? Why am I saying it? How will somebody else be impacted by my word? All of this, he says, can be changed if you understand what self-love is and why loving yourself is important. Self-love is, these are two words that used to be so foreign to me. I didn't understand them. I didn't believe them. I rejected them. I deflected them until I had my own emotional breakdown and sort of got to a place where I had to change things or it wouldn't have gone well for me. And that's when I really began my own journey to enlightenment, to move into being in a more conscious way of being than an unconscious way of being. So what he says is, if I love myself, I will express that love in my interactions with you. And then I am being impeccable with the word because that action will produce a like reaction. If I love you, then you will love me. If I insult you, you will insult me. If I have gratitude for you, you will have gratitude for me. If I'm selfish with you, you will be selfish with me. If I use the word to put a spell on you, are going to put a spell on me. He's not talking about witchcraft, except in as much as that word has been co-opted. He's talking about being spellbound in the dreamlike state that we swim in growing up, unless or until you come in to this type of consciousness. So I am intentionally using words with you today. I spent some time before I came to you today examining my own intention, being clear on what I wanted to share with you. I have slowed my voice cadence down so that I am in an intentionality to serve you today if you are either watching this or listening to this. That is one of the ways that I have learned to be impeccable with my words. I used to speak in a staccato-like way. And over many, many years, I worked to slow down my speech. As I became a coach, working in coaching partnership with clients, the benefit of slowing myself down and slowing the perseverating thoughts down and being more intentional with my own words benefited my clients because of what he just said. What I am doing is being reflected back at me. He says, but this agreement, be impeccable with your words, is difficult because we have learned to do precisely the opposite. We have learned to lie as a habit of communication with others and, more importantly, with ourselves. We are not impeccable with the word. We use the word to curse, to blame, to find guilt, to destroy. Of course, we also use it in the right way, but not often enough. So I wanted to read this example to you, which is so profound. I'm asking you to take a breath now. This may be hard for you to hear, but I'm asking you to take a breath, sit your shoulders up, open up a little bit so that you can receive what I'm about to share with you. I believe this is absolutely vital to all of our understanding about being impeccable with our words. There was a woman who was intelligent and had a very good heart. She had a daughter whom she adored and loved very much. One night she came home from a very bad day at work, tired, full of emotional tension, and with a terrible headache. She wanted peace and quiet, but her daughter was singing and jumping happily. The daughter was unaware of how her mother was feeling. She was in her own world, in her own dream. She felt so wonderful, and she was jumping and singing louder and louder, expressing her joy and her love. She was singing so loud that it made her mother's headache even worse. And at a certain point, the mother lost control. Angrily, she looked at her beautiful little girl and said, "Shut up! You have an ugly voice. Can you just shut up?" The truth is that the mother's tolerance for any noise was non-existent. It was not that the little girl's voice was ugly, but the daughter believed what her mother said. And in that moment, she made an agreement with herself. After that, she no longer sang because she believed her voice was ugly and would bother anyone who heard it. She became shy at school, and if she was asked to sing, she refused. Even speaking to others became difficult for her. Everything changed in the little girl because of this new agreement. She believed she must repress her emotions in order to be accepted and loved. Whenever we hear an opinion and believe it, we make an agreement and it becomes part of our belief system. This little girl grew up, and even though she had a beautiful voice, she never sang again. She developed a whole complex from one spell. This spell was cast upon her by the one who loved her the most, her own mother. Her mother didn't notice what she did with her words. She didn't notice that she used black magic and put a spell on her daughter. She didn't know the power of her word, and therefore she isn't to blame. She did what her own mother, father, and others had done to her in many ways. They misused the word. How many times do we do this with our own children? So I could go on and on, but honestly, when I was rereading this, I cried from the thought of my own experience of what I did with my own children in this way before I had my breakdown and breakthrough to begin to rise in higher conscious awareness of intentionally creating my life and who I wanted to be and how I wanted to be. I really have to breathe through this, friends, because in this day and age with social media, so many people think they write things down in words. They put words on the screen, so to speak, through social media, and they never give an iota of thought to it again. But other people might read that and take it in deeply. We're seeing this dramatically with our young children who are on social every day, and our teens, some of who go all the way through to suicide, or certainly rise in worry, anxiety, and then depression when they crash. I honestly do not believe that this is hyperbolic, what I'm sharing. I do not believe that I am being melodramatic. I do truly, deeply believe that as we learn just the first agreement in this book, that we can create a different way of communicating with each other, a more intentional way, a more loving way. But it does start with loving ourselves first. And in order to love ourselves first, we have to care for ourselves first. And that's what we call self-care, which is so hard for most of us to do because we think it's what? Selfish. And so when we think it's selfish to do self-care and self-care creates self-love, can you see the trajectory that we're on? If we create a different ocean for our children to swim in by them seeing us do what is self-care for us, self-care for you may be different than self-care for me, of course, but each and every one of us can do our own personal growth, our own self-help, our own personal development to figure out what self-care is that can lead to self-love, which is how I then show up to you in the words that I speak to you and the words that I share with you. near the end, at the end of the chapter, he says, use white magic. Remember, he talked about spell and he made the reference to black magic. Use white magic, beginning with yourself. Tell yourself how wonderful you are, how great you are. Tell yourself how much you love yourself. Use the word to break all those teeny tiny agreements that make you suffer. It is possible, he says. It is possible because I did it and I am no better than you. Well, the first time I read that, I'm like, well, you have Toltec wisdom. You're an author. You're famous. You are an Oprah. Of course, you're much better than I am. But then he says, no, we are exactly the same. We have the same kind of brain, the same kind of bodies. We are humans. If I was able to break those agreements and create new agreements, then you can be the same. Just this one agreement can change your whole life. It is also what the other agreements are predicated upon. And so now you see why I chose to focus on just one agreement from this amazing book. I cannot say enough how much I urge you to find this book in your library or buy it. And as I said, invite someone who is interested, either already in higher consciousness or interested in rising to create a more conscious life, a conscious design of who you want to be and how you want to be. And then you can have an integrated experience through this book that can impact your life seriously. So again, the second agreement is don't take anything personally. When you show up in love for yourself and you show up in that way and the words come out, your mind is opening and expanding such that you can begin to see and realize consciously that what somebody else is saying to you probably has nothing to do with you, but it's where they are coming from in themselves, and you don't have to take it personally. The third agreement, don't make assumptions. When you hear something, you are automatically, based on the ocean you grew up swimming in, assuming that certain thoughts, feelings, or intentions are imbued from that experience. When you pull yourself back from the edge of making assumptions, then you will learn that most likely that's not what the other person intended. And finally, the fourth agreement, always do your best. He says, if you get to the fourth agreement, then the first three agreements are deeply ingrained with what is your best intentionality. Always do your best. You get to decide what your best is. You get to tell yourself in self-love, am I really doing my best? Was that my best? Maybe it was. When you show up with intention, living life by these four very simple agreements, then you can be comfortable in your own skin. And after all, that's really what leads to a more confident life. Oh, we have to breathe. We have to open up. This is so much, friends. I hope that you have enjoyed this conversation about the book, The Four Agreements. And I invite you, as your call to action today, feel free to research it online, ask other people about it, do whatever it will take to integrate it into your life. I offer a workshop, personal workshops with people in the Four Agreements, and I would be happy to work with you right now to help you begin to infuse your life in, you know, with the Four Agreements so that you can feel differently every day. If that's of interest to you, please find me at whatwillyourlegacybe.com. You can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Susan Axelrod, and I invite you to join me on my YouTube channel, The Confidence Zone. Take good care, friends.